Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. And here was one of the big highlights at the British Tennis Open at Wimbledon yesterday.
She's still got it. Terrific movement from Venus.
She's still got it. Terrific movement from Venus. In the quarterfinal match, Venus Williams defeated Yaroslava Shvedova. She moves on to the semifinals, putting her one match away from a possible confrontation with her sister, defending Wimbledon champion Serena Williams in the finals. And joining us now is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, who's with us every Wednesday to talk about sports. Hey, Bill.
Hello, Anthony.
So, Bill, after the semifinal rounds, do you expect to see another Williams versus Williams final?
These are the good old days. Come back again. Yeah, I think it'd be great. I think it'd be really exciting. I always root for the story, as you know.
Yes.
And it's magnificent to see Venus Williams playing tennis as well as she has been playing at Wimbledon this time around. Serena Williams, of course, has been playing magnificently for some time, although even she has had the occasional glitch. So there's no guarantee that we see Williams v. Williams in the final, but I think it would be great fun, and my guess is that people who have been fans of tennis for, a decade, 15 years or more, will also think that this is great fun.
And one of the things, sort of the subplots here, is Venus Williams is 36. Oh, my God, she's so old. but you know, we laugh, but in fact, it is old to be performing at this level much past the age of 30.
Yeah, well, particularly
more and more
on
tennis,
the women's side.
Yeah,
yeah,
but they're doing it. What explains that? Is this a particular one athlete's particular set of abilities, or is this something that's happening in the game of tennis?
Well, when you talk about this particular athlete, not only is it unusual that she would be performing at this level at 36, but she's had all kinds of physical issues that she had to overcome, autoimmune diseases and all kinds of things, in addition to the standard catalog of injuries that tennis players are bound to suffer as they play the game for, you know, year after year after year.
All right. Well, let's say it does come down to Serena versus Venus. Who do you like? What do you think?
Well, my heart says Venus because I think it would be great fun to see her win at Wimbledon one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, those of us who've paid attention to the Williams sisters since the beginning, when actually their father kept them out of tournaments during their years when they were getting to be very good because he said, I want them to be in school. I want them to be well-rounded individuals. I don't want them to be the kind of tennis players who burn out at 18, having made the final at Wimbledon at 17. It'd be great. We remembered from those days that Venus used to win.
Yeah.
Serena had a bit of a psychological barrier to overcome to beat older sis. And then, of course, once she did that, went on to somewhat eclipse Venus's achievements. But both of them have been great, and it'll be great fun to see the two of them play in the spotlight once again.
All right, before we move on to other sports, I want to ask you very quickly about the men's side at Wimbledon. What are you watching for there?
As far as I'm concerned, there's only one story, and it's very similar to the one that we've just talked about. It's Roger Federer.
Right.
You know, he had some help in that some of the guys who have been inclined to beat him got knocked out of the tournament earlier. But my goodness, what a match he had to get to the semifinals. Down 2-0, came back and won in magnificent fashion, knocked off, put off several match points. And just, you know, again, looked like the Federer of old. These are the good old days. So you can't not root for him to win Wimbledon one more time, can you?
All right. We're rooting for the old people here on Radio Boston. All right. Let's move on. I want to come back to Boston and talk a little bit about the Celtics. On July 4th, the Celtics officially lost the Kevin Durant sweepstakes. The prize free agent announced he would sign with the Golden State Warriors. And he made this decision after losing to Golden State in the Western Conference Final. So here's Sports Hub host Michael Felger talking about Durant's decision this week on Comcast Sportsnet. Listen to what he said, Bill.
Once you lose to that team in Game 7 of the Conference Finals, don't you have to say, if you're a competitor, I got to wait at least a year before I do this now, to get beat by that team in that fashion and then go join that team? That to me is just, it's borderline pathetic.
Okay. Now, we should note that former Celtic star Paul Pierce tweeted out, if you can't beat him, join him. But what do you make of that response? Is that fair?
No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's ridiculous. Pro athletes are doing their job. And the way the system is set up, the very fortunate pro athletes and the very best pro tennis players, for example, NBA players, get to a point where they reach free agency and they can look around and they can test the market and they can see what they're worth. And that's what this system is designed to do. Now, for somebody like Kevin Durant, for whom money is perhaps not the most important concern, he's looking around and he's saying, okay, where do I go that I have the greatest chance to win a championship?
Yeah.
And fans and sometimes people running call-in sports shows confuse their own emotions with the emotions of the players, I think. Fans feel loyalty to teams. They root for teams even when they're not any good. And they feel betrayed when a player says, well, you know, really, I'd rather go to another city and play for somebody else, either because they're giving me more money or my wife prefers to live in Los Angeles or whatever it might be. Players have loyalty to the team within the context of the season. When the season's over, they know that a certain number of the guys that they've been sharing a locker room with are not going to be there next year, and maybe they won't be there next year. And every one of them is one torn up knee away from a pension and maybe a job hosting a call-in sports show like Michael Felger. So it's silly to confuse the way fans and sports writers feel about teams with the way players feel about the job that they're on the court to do.
All right, Bill, we got less than a minute. I just want to talk quickly about the Red Sox. We learned this week that six Red Sox will be on the All-Star team: David Ortiz, Xander Bogaerts, Mookie Betts, Jackie Bradley Jr., and pitchers Stephen Wright and Craig Kimbrell. That's the most since 2008. What does this say about the team? What do you think?
It says that there are numbers of individuals who are performing well enough to make the All-Star team.
Even if they've slipped into third place.
Numbers of good performing individuals do not necessarily a pennant winner make. Now, you still have to worry about the pitching. You still have to look at the numbers. Holy cow, they cannot win a game in which they don't score at least 8 runs.
Yes.
The pitching has been atrocious. And I cut out a line from a box score the other day. 1/3 inning, 6 runs given up.
Yeah.
All earned. What the? Hey, come on. I could do that.
All right. That's Bill Littlefield. He hosts NPR's Only a Game. You can hear Only a Game on WBUR Saturdays at 7 and again at 7 p.m. Thanks, Bill. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Anthony.